God knew us. In every step of this life, God knows us. When the days are short and this life is over, God is with us. Let us come before God in the fullness of ourselves, naming our brokenness for the one who is able to reconcile and heal. First, we'll offer a time of silent confession, then we'll join together with the prayer listed in our bulletin. Let us pray. And God's people said, "We admit, Holy God, that we find it hard to hear your promise of new life. It is easier to cling to what we know than to risk the unknown. You challenge us to accept people who are different from us, but we are not eager to associate with them. You command us to love one another, but we find it hard to love some. Oh God, melt our defenses so that we can accept your love and let it flow through us. Grant us the courage to embrace the new life that is ours through Easter. Amen." Hear the great good news that for you, Christ was born, Christ lived, Christ died, Christ was resurrected, and Christ reigns now in power. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let us sing together our song of response, Christ the Lord is risen today, verse 4. We've come to a time in our service in which we're able to lift up our joys and our concerns. Are there any prayer concerns within the church this morning?
I just want to ask for prayers for a coworker of Sean and I. Her name, his name is James, and his wife, his name is Michelle. And last week she had a stroke, and she's in her 30s, and they have a one-year-old. I think they have a daughter. She's still unresponsive, so prayers for their family.
I miss my pet fish because I don't know where he is, and that's why I miss him.
Prayers for some healing there. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We will be praying with you, Abby.
I have a joy. My friend Abigail came to sleep over last night.
Joining you in prayer, Soraya.
I would ask for prayers for my sister, Linda. She has just returned to her home after being away during a long illness. And prayers also for Thomas, her grandson, who is moving in to take care of her. So prayers for Linda and Thomas.
Linda and Thomas.
Thanks. Lots of joy this morning. First of all, we've been gone for 3 weeks just homebound because we've been struck with multiple viruses and ear infections and hand, foot, mouth, and we are healed and healthy today, and we're
Amen.
Here. So thank you, Jesus. Also, last week was really stressful in our household because my husband, Dan, was preparing to be a keynote speaker at a conference last Friday, and it was... the timing was not ideal with end of the semester and grading, and I was really worried just for his health and the amount of stress on him, but it went amazingly, and he's really happy with it, so that makes me happy. So praise for that, and prayers for a safe travel home tonight from Toronto.
Amen. Prayers for the family and for Dan in particular.
I'd like to ask prayers for Becca, who has to decide on a college this week, and she has a choice between two good ones with opposite pros and cons, and the choice feels kind of impossible right now for her. So please don't ask her what they are, because she's already received a lot of conflicting advice. but she would appreciate your prayers.
Indeed, we'll be praying for Becca's discernment.
Continued prayers for my friend Sam, who is having a relapse of his cancer and who had an infection, was in intensive care last week. I hadn't gotten word that he is out of intensive care, but he's improving, so
okay.
He's doing better. And just continued prayers for my dad, who has been doing some daily walks, which I'm really proud of him, that he's trying to improve his health after a leg infection, so he's doing much, much better. Thank you.
Indeed, prayers for Sam and for Bill.
Renewed prayers for my friend Eunice, who had a third stroke, a couple weeks ago, has been discharged from hospital, is back in the rehab facility, and her town which she was looking for. She truly wants the call to go home. She doesn't want us to pray for her to get better. I don't know at this point if she's ever going to be able to walk again. That jury is still out. And continuing prayers for Monica Mota, family friend, recurrence after years of treatment for the BRCA gene and the cancers that it caused. Her son and his fiancé have moved their wedding from October to till next month so that she can share in that. And then a real joy, after being a limp-along, aged wreck, today, with the joy of this beautiful spring day, my new knee is functioning magnificently. My broken ankle doesn't hurt anymore. And my quilt guild is holding the second day of their biennial show today. If you could get down to the North Kingstown High School, please do. Anyway, I'm just feeling happy to be alive, and that's really nice when you're 83.
Praise God. Michael, CJ, repeat again what you said about North Kingstown High School.
NBQA Quilt Guild.
The Quilt Guild Show. Thank you for slowing down. I just missed it. I appreciate it.
I just want to ask for prayers this week for Gordon as he defends his dissertation and prepares to do that, and for both of us as we kind of plan our steps forward from that, looking for jobs and probably planning a move to the UK, and just kind of all the bureaucracy that goes with that.
Indeed, we join you in prayer for Gordon and for your future.
I'd like continued prayers for my colleague, Bob, who is in the last stages of life with cancer, but also for all people that are battling cancer, and also for families in my community. There was a condominium fire this past week, and 30 people were displaced from their homes, and there's been many serious and fatal car accidents. So as we welcome spring and travel, that we be safe on the roads.
Indeed, joining you in prayer for your father and for the fire.
Prayers for Jill Moles, who's home with pneumonia.
Joining in prayer for Jill. And I'd like to ask for prayer. I just kind of took a gut check this week in a really disturbing way. So just asking for prayers in that space. Thanks. Let us pray. You are invited to respond to the prompt of God of New Life with, "Hear our prayer." Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you. Show us your glory, we pray, so that we may know the glory of God. We are so grateful for you, Good Shepherd. Teach us your way, so that we may follow you all of our lives. Beloved of God, we come to you this day. Give us your love, so that we may truly, truly, truly love one another. Rejoicing in God's promise of a new creation, let us pray to the maker of heaven and earth, saying, God of new life, hear our prayer. This day, O Lord, we pray for your church. Make us present with you. Make your home among us, O God, we pray, so that it permeates every relationship, so that it permeates every way in which we are called to be together. Let it be true and a trustworthy sign of a new thing that you are doing in this world. God of new life, hear our prayer. We pray for the world, O God, for those who continue to recover from the events of earthquakes, for Japan, for Ecuador, for the places in the world in which suffering is deep, For those who feel the only option is to run from the place they've called home in order to feel safe and have the potential of flourishing in the ways in which you've called them in this world. God, we need you. Heal the suffering of your creation, we pray. Let all creatures join together in praise for the renewal of this earth. God of new life, hear our prayers. We pray for this community. In days and times in which divisions remain and are real, for the ways in which we can alienate and hurt each other as we figure out how to live together, we ask you to guide us, God. Give us a new dream, a new vision of your amazing love for all people, without prejudice and without partiality. God of new life, hear our prayers. We pray for loved ones this day. We pray for Michelle and James. We pray for Abby as she grieves. We pray for Linda and Thomas. We pray for Dan and his safe arrival and give thanks for the places of healing and restoration. We pray for Becca in these days of discernment, knowing that you are already beckoning her from her future. You are already there with her. We pray for Sam and for Bill, for Eunice and for Monica. We give thanks for knees that are working well and the joys of the arts, whether they be music or quilting or just looking at the sunshine that beams through the windows. God, this day we hold close Gordon and Danielle as they move through days of dissertation defense, as well as discerning their next chapter. But we celebrate the ways in which you're moving in their lives. God, I pray, we pray for Bob at the end of his cancer stage, and we join with all of those who are dealing with cancer as loved ones and as patients, as caregivers. We pray for the families and friends of those displaced by fire and the tragedy of car accidents. We pray for Jill. Touch her with your healing graces, O God. For the joys of friends gathering, we thank you. For Abby, be with your people in joys and in sufferings. God, we pray that you wipe away the tears from every eye. Let mourning and crying and pain be no more, we pray this day. God of new life, hear our prayers. Gracious God, keep us working. Keep us praying. Keep us praying and keep us working for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We are still waiting for a couple of our new members to come forward, but we are going to welcome those who are here. And first, I'd like to invite up the children to come forward so you have a front row seat to this.
Great. So I don't know who is here this morning. I'm looking around and seeing. Okay. So we have.
Let's see. And Janet's here.
So will Janet Kinua, Marta Laupa, Lisa Masada,
and we're
Cindy.
Missing Cindy at this.
Okay.
But come on.
So you all please come forward.
And I'm going to say a couple of words before they, before.
As they come up.
Yes, as they come up. This is a joyous time in our life. Does anyone know why? It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. You're absolutely right. And there is no better time than Eastertide to welcome new members. Because in the early church, it was during the season of Easter that new members got to be welcomed. And we have three new members to welcome to our church congregation today. And we wanted to do it early in the service so that you all could welcome them. And we'd like to invite Ella to come up and stand with her mom for this. You want to come up? You don't want to come up. Okay. You don't have to come up. It's your choice. But you can watch her join, okay? Is that all right? Okay. And we will continue.
Okay. So having been approved by session, you are here to be joined with this congregation in the service of Jesus Christ as you reaffirm your faith and commit to join in membership with us here at Providence Presbyterian Church.
Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself as one member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church. You do not come to us as strangers, but as sisters in Christ. Now he has brought you to this time and place so that you may confess his name before our brothers and sisters in Christ and go out to serve him as faithful disciples.
Please show your intention to unite with this church by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Do you trust in him?
I do.
Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
I do.
Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
I do.
Amen.
And do we, the people of the church, promise to welcome and involve Janet, Marta, and Lisa to share our faith and ministry together so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this congregation in and through Janet, Marta, and Lisa today. Together, may we always live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory both now and for all time. Amen.
You are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Live in his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell richly within you. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God who sent him. Welcome, welcome, welcome into this community of Jesus Christ, our church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 148. It is found on page 550 in your pew Bible or on page 716 in the large print. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his nations, all his angels, excuse me. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all depths, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountain and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creepy things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He was raised up by a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. The New Testament lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. This is found on page 122 in your pew Bible or page 158 in the large print. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they had heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
It is good to be back with you after 2 weeks away, first with the civil rights journey and pilgrimage to the South, and then last week with family in Washington State, to wrestle this morning again with a very familiar and favorite text of mine. Love one another. Jesus says it is the greatest of commandments, and yet it is so difficult to live. How we struggle with it in this world of ours, which is anything at times but loving or just. This vision that Peter experiences yet calls us to that again, calls Peter to risk and to step outside of his comfort zone into new places. It's a story that appears not just once, but twice in Acts. In case you might just be kind of reading through Acts quickly, it's told in chapter 10 and chapter 11. You can check me out on that. The writer of Acts wants to make sure, I think, that we hear this story. This lectionary text today, this chapter 11 version, to be reminded that indeed we love because Jesus loves and calls us to love. Unless we converted from Judaism to Christianity, we would not be here today without the vision of this story. We too would be outside of the community of faith as Gentiles. Christianity was founded in Judaism, and the early Christians, many of them, followed Jewish practices. Today, we lose sight of just how radical this story is. In those days, the laws of ritual purity and food and many other activities of life were at the heart of what it meant to be a faithful people of God. And to be welcomed fully into the community of faith, you needed to follow the rules. They set the Jewish people apart from the rest of the world and marked them with distinction in their perfection in following those laws of Leviticus. And the early church grew within and then out of Judaism, its laws and practice, and it struggled to determine what were the acceptable ways of living to be part of the true community. It doesn't seem all that different than what we wrestle these days and have been part of the church wrestlings in all times and places. Jürgen Moltmann in The Crucified God says the church is ever at a crossroads of living in the tension of its identity and its relevance. Karl Barth at the turn of the 20th century said that the only real way to do theology, to practice our faith, is to stand with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, or in the 21st century, the Bible in one hand and our cell phone and Googling in the other. How do we follow that call of God when it pushes us to risk, to step beyond our comfort zone and what we have known about what it means to be part of community? The vision that Peter sees and hears in this text is radical. Here we have a vision from God, God's self calling Peter to set aside everything he's believed and practiced, to enlarge the boundaries of his vision and to see forward into a new inclusion of people he would never have imagined eligible to be in the community of faith. The people are reminded that it is God alone who has the power to make clean. And at the very heart of this distinction, God wipes it away by bestowing the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so opens up the door to Gentiles, to our mothers and fathers of the faith, for many of us. We are not to call profane or unclean that which God alone makes clean. It is God's call, and God's power ever at work, sometimes in surprising and mysterious ways, a power that undergirds everything we believe and act and trust as we seek to build the community of faith together. It is God's power and right to bestow that spirit on whomsoever God chooses, and it's not of our own doing. Peter's vision then begins in a spirit of prayer, a spirit and attitude of prayer, in humility, in taking time to truly seek God's will and be open to the spirit that God alone will give. What he gets in that vision is surely quite a surprise to him. At the same time that Peter goes up to the roof to pray, God is at work in another, prompting Cornelius and others to be sent forth to witness to Peter, a centurion, a guard in the Roman elite army. This kind of vision and response that we see in this text doesn't happen to one person. It happens, and it requires community. It requires a coming together of those very different people interacting together. While also praying in a vision, Cornelius is told to find Peter. And we pick up the text in the place where Peter and Cornelius and many others meet. And the text tells us the Holy Spirit falls upon them. However strong and faithful his practice in seeking to follow God, Cornelius is outside of the community. He's one of those who had been previously outside the faith, seemingly beyond inclusion. And yet, in this moment, God brings together Peter, that stumbling, faithful disciple, that one that Jesus says upon whom he will build his church, and Cornelius. Two paths of very different people converge together. Peter is not to stand content with the power he has just exercised in wonderful ministry and healings in Lydda and Joppa, recounted in the previous chapters. When Peter sees the power of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his servants, their gifts for faith, he listens to God. He baptizes them, and so begins their sojourn into deepening the richness of this faith community. Peter says, as recorded in this text, "If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" One of the great gifts of this congregation as we seek to live together is the way in which we seek first to see God at work in the lives of one another. Even as we have very different experiences and backgrounds, even amidst our weaknesses and limitations, we start in prayer. We continue in interactions. The church can show that kind of commitment to be with one another, to see the gifts each has to offer, and to welcome those gifts into community. We come from many different places. Each class of new members that we engage with reminds of this, and we see it again today as we welcomed Janet, Marta, and Lisa to join with us. The miracle of God's grace and love woven between us is that we do learn to really be with and love one another when we take that leap and that risk into community. When we allow the barriers to be broken down as we come honestly and sometimes painfully to meet one another, when we allow ourselves to be open to the spirit that only God can give, we are changed when we see God at work in the other. We are enlivened with the new thing that God is doing. One of the reasons I really appreciate this text is because Peter, the rock, the one Jesus said, "I will build my church," but also the one that denied Jesus three times at that point of crisis, Peter is capable of continuing conversion, of new understanding. How many times I have been blessed to see that unfold in people's lives. It is a real blessing. Earlier this month, it was my good fortune to be able to travel on the Civil Rights Journey South trip sponsored by the Council of Churches. There were about 20 of us in the group. We were a very mixed group coming from different parts of Rhode Island, but also from Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. We experienced firsthand, I think, in that journey, the kind of life-changing transformation as we met with people who journeyed in civil rights efforts of the 1960s. What struck me very powerfully was how the church was central to that. Mass meetings at churches in the neighborhood were part of undergirding that ministry. We think of Martin Luther King Jr. as a preacher, and we know that that was part of it, but it was so clear to us as we toured around Montgomery and Selma and Birmingham how the churches were those gathering places for song, for reflection, for prayer, for emboldening the church, for emboldening the people, some of them not at all connected to church, to step out to work for civil rights. Before the Selma March, before the Montgomery bus boycott, before the Children's March following the tragic bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, the church was at the center of emboldening and empowering that effort. The church is a place where we can come together and to be reminded that we are always at a point of new beginning, not the end of the journey. The opening scripture passage noted in the bulletin from Acts says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God." The kind of fear that this text is talking about in this place is not the kind of fear that we see rampant in our society these days. But the word fear here is the word used for worship and praise. Like the psalm we read in 148, it is the centering of our lives in God that allows us to do what is right, to find out what is right out of awe and reverence for a power that is beyond anything that this earth can provide. Faith and worship, devotion come first, just as they have in this passage with Peter's vision as he goes first into prayer. I hope and pray that in this church we can be able to be a place where we can welcome people where they are, and trust God to move in our lives and their lives as we have known God's transformation, no matter who we are, where we have come from, or where we are going. The God I worship and serve and the message I see in Jesus, who makes no distinction between clean and unclean with the gifts of the Spirit, will continue to surprise us at every turn of faith. Jesus continually broke the rules himself, even in that paradox of coming to fulfill them. This is a God who accepts us as we are, but doesn't leave us there, ever seeking to transform us into what we would become for God. At the end of his life, as he gathered with the disciples in the upper room, Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So may we seek the Lord our God in prayer to cross over boundaries into new relationships, new ways of being church in this community and in our wider community. Let us continue to work together in the power of God's grace to be the church that God wills for us, a church as generous and just as God's grace for us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it may and can be so, today and always. Amen.
Will you please join me as we affirm our faith together, using a brief statement of faith as printed in your bulletin. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Giving thanks to God, who has richly blessed us in our lives, we will now receive the tithes and offerings.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Oh, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Yes, God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Oh, an empty grave is the true proof my Savior lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes, because he lives, all fear he's gone. Because I know, he holds the future. Yes, and life is worth living just because he lives. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your gifts are more than we can abundantly ask or assume. Bless them now with your Spirit, that they might further your will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
The prophet Isaiah wrote, "They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint." Or, "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But both are true. Let us go forth into hope, into the promise that God is with us, God is guiding us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From the 5th, isn't it? At least 2 weeks, maybe three. I never
heard. So it's 30 days from Easter, isn't it?
Lent is 40 days.
Huh?
Lent is 40 days. I can't remember how.